Praise the Lord. How many have been going through the fire today? Here comes somebody else. Adam. Hallelujah. You think you get through one thing and here comes another, right? I left here rejoicing, but I soon got some bad news. The devil's a liar. He's a father of all lies. Doesn't matter. We're going to still clean up the church, right? That's why he's raging, you know. He did not want anybody to hear that message this morning. Well, Father, they're gathered together again tonight around your table to be fed fresh manna from heaven. I'm asking you, Father God, to open up the spiritual heart to receive the seed tonight. Plead the blood of Jesus over the seed that the enemy cannot steal it. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I want to teach on self-control, a fruit of the Spirit. The fruit everyone needs, but no one wants. And I don't want y'all to say, amen, because every one of you don't need the self-control, amen? Don't point your finger at somebody else. See, and I've already went through this, so I've already repented. And I'm already working on self-control, amen? From the most mature saint to the newest convert, we all need to grow in this fruit. Now, if you have a cell phone, I want you to disable it right now. I don't want to see anybody using any cell phones from the time you enter this church and the time you leave the sanctuary. I don't want to see you get laying on the floor answering your cell phone, standing against the wall talking to somebody. God is important in these services, not your cell phone. And what are you going to do when you can't use your cell phone? You'll die and go to hell. I can't believe. I pulled up here tonight. People walk up and down the sidewalk using their cell phones. I said, look at this. This is a mess. Everybody outside, I don't care what you do outside, but I'm tired of seeing you do it in the house of God, especially my staff. I do not want to ever see one of a member of my staff ever using a cell phone inside this sanctuary again. That is showing disrespect for the people in the spirit or disrespect for the house of God, period. Amen. I don't just ask my family, I have a cell phone, but don't call me when I go shopping. You can talk to me before I go or when I get home. Because before I had a cell phone, you had to wait for me to get home. I'm sorry. Whatever's there, we'll wait till I get home. I have three kids to take care of and shop, and I can't do a cell phone too. Just not that talented. Come on. I see Brother Chris Gore back there. He has all these little fang-dangled screens going, you know, and he's looking at them. What? How can he possibly concentrate in God, and he's got all this junk going on in him? I'm on this for purpose, I guess. I'm going to say this. Mind, you can't be concentrating what God's trying to teach you if you're doing something with a cell phone or a laptop. You can't. I'm going to pray that your laptops blow up if you open them up. Amen. All right. See, all right, self-control. You can't even control yourself with your cell phone or your laptop. That worked in there really good, didn't it? All right. The fruit everyone needs, but no one wants. Let's go to Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. When I titled this on my page, I said the fruit of the Spirit. So I think that was God, the fruit. Nobody wants the fruit. They want the fruit. They want to forget about self-control. Amen. Against such things, there is no law. 2 Peter 1:3 through 9 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is God speaking. It's not me, all right? It's the Bible. And verse 9, but whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. So if you don't have all these fruits of the Spirit that we mentioned, we'll go over them again. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the fruit that you should be having if you're a child of God. Now, I want to talk about a need that each one of us shares, from the youngest to the oldest, from the most mature to the very immature, from the new Christian to the old veteran saint. We all need more of this fruit in our lives. Some people's lives are chaotic and out of control because of a lack of self-control. I would bet that each one of us in some area of our lives are experiencing pain and producing pain in others because of lack of self-control. That fruit, the last fruit of the Spirit listed, it is self-control. People are literally dying because of a lack of self-control. For some, it's physical. A lack of control in your eating or exercise. A lack of control in destructive habits like drinking and drugs. A lack of self-control in what you think about, resulting in depression and defeat. A lack of self-control in what you think about, resulting in depression and defeat. A lack of self-control with entertainment, resulting in being unproductive and shallow. Some people suffer socially. They have no deep, meaningful relationships because they spend all their time playing computer games, watching TV, reading novels, or some other form of self-entertainment. And too many people are on their computers looking at pornography or talking to somebody you shouldn't be talking to. Lack of self-control. Every time you look around, you're plump down at that computer, sneaking pornography. Or I know now that some people have little screens on there that they talk to somebody they shouldn't be talking to. Lack of self-control. Some lack control when it comes to the sensual and sexual things in life, and they get addicted to porn and sex and sometimes even perversion. For some, it is a lack of self-control in cleaning the house and picking up after yourself or just doing what you should be doing. They even have reality shows on hoarding. Alicia watches those all the time. People can't control themselves when it comes to possessions. If you ever watch one of the movies, are terrible, aren't they? Some of you are grinning. Do you have that same problem? My kids are getting that problem. They think they have to save everything, even a stick of dirt. Amen. Many have a lack of self-control when it comes to talking. I have literally had to tell people in marriage counseling sessions to just stop talking. And they couldn't do it. They would just go on saying hurtful things because it felt like it, even though it was destroying them, their marriage, and causing pain to their mate. They couldn't control their words or need to say something, even though it was anti-productive. That's why I quit counseling. You don't want to counsel. You just want to go in there and spread your junk, your poison. I don't want to hear your junk and your poison. Amen. Take it to God. You find that when you're trying to help somebody that's hurting, they don't really want to quit hurting. They keep making excuses why they're hurting. You know, they do that. How about emotions? Can you control them? Don't grin at me, Brother Christopher Gore. How about emotions? Can you control them? I have come across a lot of people who can't control their temper. There are a lot of people that struggle to control anger. Amen? I won't tell on you. But that happens all the time. I hear Astrid has a terrible temper. Are you learning to control it? Don't lie. She's working on it. See, she didn't lie. She's working on it. Self-control. You have to get under control because it's a fruit of the Spirit. Self-control. Self-control is a spiritual fruit we all need more of and the one hardest to achieve. Why? Because God can't do it for us. It is self-control. If we give God control of our lives, he will begin to direct our paths and empower us. He will help us to become more loving and kind and so on. But then we reach a place in our spiritual growth where God says, okay, now it's up to you. Now you're going to have to do the work. You have the power, he says, but do you have the will? And oftentimes we find we don't have the will, so we don't have any power, and God really isn't in control like we thought. I said, and oftentimes we find we don't have the will, so we don't have any power, and God really isn't in control like we thought. More times than not, we take a pill so we don't have to struggle and to control ourselves. We just numb ourselves. We avoid learning control. All right, let me just stop there. This is what I feel about drug people. All right? I know you've done drug for 10 years, but there has to come a time in your life when you have to take control of your life and quit taking a drug to survive. Well, I don't know how to do that. Well, you won't ever know how to do that until you stop taking the drug and go through the pain, and it's a lot of pain and agony, to get out of that drug habit to learn to live life. Because if you're on drugs, you are not living. You're just existing. Right? Come on. You know, they're really getting on doctors for all this medication. They just hand out pills like they were candy. And they do that, I guess, because of the big pharma. So they make money. But still in all, it's destroying people's lives. It's making... Do you know what? I was reading an article where this company said that they have lots of openings, but everybody that applies for their job, they're intoxicated with something, you know, drugs or alcohol. And so they can't hire them because they won't be productive, you know, on the job site. And so you have jobs out there that nobody can take because they don't have any self-control, and they go there either drunk or high. And I don't know about you, but if I had a business, wouldn't want that type of person on my job site. Amen. And, you know, people can't even stand a little bit of pain. Oh, I got an arthritis pain in my joint. I had to go take a pill. You know, why don't you just pray about it and just ask God to take it away? Come on. The older you get, the more that your joints are going to tell you, you got to take a pill. Come on. So who's going to order you around? You or the pain? Come on. All right, this is one person's testimony. I know what it's like to be out of control. This is what this person said. At one time in my life, 45 plus years ago, I smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day, but I always knew when to stop drinking. I ran out of money or passed out. That's how they stopped drinking. Amen. I didn't control myself sexually, socially, or emotionally. I was known to leap over tables to deck someone. I would explode and start fighting anyone, anytime, in any place. I was out of control, and I suppose I would have been dead a long time ago, or maybe in jail, if Jesus hadn't found me and saw something worth saving in my miserable hide. A lot of you in here can say amen to that. But he did. You know, Jesus saved him. I came to him one ugly, chaotic mess, and it wasn't pretty, and it wasn't easy. Sounds to me like he had a lot of things he had to work on. The process of being transformed was a pretty painful process for me, but God, through his grace, was able to do it. He was able to do a work in me and transform me into the Christian I am today, but he always demanding something of me. While God was working him through his process, God always demanded something of him. The first scripture I memorized, I think, was Philippians 4:13, and he says, remember it. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I hear that quoted all the time, but you don't no more believe that than you have two heads. Amen? Or you'd have more self-control. Now, I can do all things because Jesus will do it for me. No, it doesn't say that. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can get my thought life in order. I can control my emotions. I don't have to do drugs. even though the devil's screaming, you want more, you want more, you want more. You say, no, I don't have to do this because Christ Jesus who lives in me is strengthening me. And it's not easy, and I don't mean to make it sound like it is not easy. I know, I watch it. But you're going to have to take control sometime of your body if you ever expect to live a good, productive life. Do you see that if we are to do something, it is up to us? God will not do it for us. God will not do for us what we can do for ourselves. He will guide us to his will. He will give us the will to do it. He will even give us the strength to overcome anything, but he will not do it for us. Someone said, without God, we can't, and without us, God won't. Without God, we can't, and without us, God won't. God always works through us to accomplish his will. He needs us to control ourselves, reject our will, and choose to do his will. All right? In the fruits of the Spirit, did you notice how it ended? Against such there is no law. What does that mean? Let's look at it again in Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. What does against such there is no law mean? Let's look at it in the Message Bible. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives in much of the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness preeminates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life. I wish the body of Christ would know that you do not have to force your way in life. You do not have to prove to anybody that you are a leader. You don't have to prove to anybody that you are a pastor. I am Reverend so-and-so. Well, big whoop. You don't have to do that, you know, if you really have the fruits of the Spirit working. Okay, we find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Legalism is helpless in bringing this about. I think the Bible is telling us that this fruit of the Spirit cannot be legislated, or simply obeying the law will not bring the fruit about. The way to produce spiritual fruit is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Period. If you're truly filled with the Holy Spirit, you will get and accomplish self-control. You will. All right, thinking about that, talking about that, how about the guy that was on the cruise, him and his wife? His wife was laughing at him, wouldn't stop laughing at him, poking fun of some sort, so he killed her. Now his wife's dead and he's in prison because he had no self-control. And she evidently didn't either because she kept laughing and wouldn't quit laughing at him. And I thought when I read that, isn't that dumb? Now your life is over. Her life is gone because she laughed at you. But now your life is over too. You're going to sit in a prison cell for the rest of your life or whatever they do with you. Right? All right, the way to produce spiritual fruit is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he doesn't do things for us. He leads us to know his will. He gives us his will to grow in these areas, and he will help us grow in these fruits. But it is in and through us. Without God, we cannot. Without us, God will not. I want you to remember that. So we need self-control, and how do we get it? First, pray, pray, pray. Fast, fast, fast. Scream at the wall, scream at the wall, scream at the wall. Whatever you got to do to get it done. Ask God to show you how to produce his fruit. See your need and ask for help. We have not because we ask not according to the word. Then be willing to endure pain and persecution to obtain progress or gain control in an area of your life. There isn't one of us in here, I don't believe, that doesn't have an area in your life that you're out of control in. There's just something, little thing in your life that's still lacking self-control that you have to work on. And sometimes you have to go through a lot of pain. I know working with my granddaughter, an alcoholic goes through a terrible time. You know, she had to be dying in order to quit drinking. Now, hopefully she doesn't go back, but still in all, you know, no matter what she did, she had no self-control. I'm not going to drink another bottle and then scream and carry on until somebody took her to the store to get a bottle, you know. No self-control, even though she knew it was killing her. Smokers, they have no self-control. They quit, pick up, quit, pick up. Drug addicts, no self-control. The minute the pain hits, the body's screaming, I want another hit, I want another hit. They go and get another hit. There's pain involved when you're trying to get control over a situation. There's always pain involved. Always. All right, first pray. Ask God to show you how to produce this fruit. See your need and ask for help. We have not because we ask not. Then be willing to endure pain and persecution to obtain progress or gain control in an area of your life. Second, understand it is a process. Doesn't happen overnight. Line upon line, precept upon precept. You worked really hard for years and years and years to be angry. And it's not going to drop out of your life just because you say, okay, anger, I want you to go. It isn't going to happen that way. You cannot win the war, but you don't have to. Just win this battle today. Forget about yesterday's defeats and victories. Forget about tomorrow and what it may bring. Your life, you live in the eternal now. Everybody's trying to win the war, but you have to win the battle first. The battle of the mind, the battle of the body, whatever it is. Just win the victory over that habit, that attitude, that lifestyle, that temptation right now. You know, right this moment. Get victory this moment. You may have failed yesterday. Well, then today win. Tomorrow you may go down in flames. Don't worry about it. Win today. You know, eventually you're going to win. Eventually you're going to get control over the situation. You really will. I'll tell you a secret. Tomorrow never comes. Yesterday is forever gone. You live in the eternal now. Just win right now. With God's help, the rest will take care of itself. You see, what happens is, okay, so I know a lot of people quit smoking cigarettes. Well, they quit for one day, but then by 1 o'clock in the morning when they should be asleep and they're out walking around, they need a cigarette. And so, you know, if they've been sleeping, they might not have the craving. So instead of saying, nope, I'm not going to smoke that cigarette, they run to that cigarette and smoke that cigarette. And then they say, see, I knew I couldn't do it. They get that defeated attitude. You can't do that. You have to say, okay, devil, you might have won this round, but you're not going to win the next one. And just keep that up, and one day you're going to win the round. I promise. But see, you're going to have to work on yourself, and you're going to have to really want to do that in order for it to happen. All right, the third thing you must do to gain control of your life is to learn to follow in faith and not your feelings. By faith and not your feelings. People in society have a tendency to follow their feelings. People in the church have a tendency to follow their feelings. That will almost always get you in trouble. Not almost, it will get you in trouble. People are always urging us to follow our heart. Isn't that, you hear that all the time? Just follow your heart. No, Jeremiah 17:9 said the heart is deceitful beyond all things. So why would you want to follow that deceitful heart, right? God tells us to control it. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. God says, guard your heart, for everything flows from it. Control your heart, and you control your feelings. I have seen so much damage done by people who refuse to control themselves. Permissive parents who spoiled their children and ruined their lives because they couldn't control themselves and give the children the discipline they needed. So many people are afraid to discipline their children. I have children in my home that need discipline, or they run over me anyhow and I discipline them, you know, but I'm going to get the upper hand in this thing eventually. But see, I have to stay steadfast. I have to stay committed. I have to show them that I am the boss. I'm the grown up. You are not. And like today, Larry said, I'm sick and tired of a three-year-old telling me what to do. He's 3 and a half. So, you know, and he's gotten to the stage right now, you're going to do what he says, or it's not going to be done. So he thinks. So, you know, we have to make sure that he knows who's the boss And we make sure that he does. Because all you're doing is you're just growing up a child that nobody's going to be able to stand, not even you, eventually. And that is the truth. A lot of people don't want to correct a child because, after all, I want them to love me. Get out of here. They'll love you more if you correct them than if you let them go and be spoiled rotten. And one day they'll say, why didn't you correct me? I love my father and mother because they corrected me. I've seen people let their kids go and act like total idiots. It's not going to happen in my house. I don't care who you are, you're going to be corrected. Because what you do for one, you should do for all. And if one can't do something, then the other can't do it either. Period. So parents, you need to start learning how to discipline your children. All right? People who destroy their marriages because they can't or won't control their passions. Right? People who lose good jobs because they can't control their fleshly desires to sleep in or discipline themselves to get to work on time. It goes on and on. The easy way is to follow the flesh, do what you feel like doing, but it always ends up badly. It's easy to follow your flesh. There's no war there going on. And when you follow your flesh, the enemy has you. And he's not worried one bit about you, because he knows when he gets you to hell, he's going to torment you forever. He's going to give you everything you desire, your little flesh desires, he's going to give it to you. So what do you want? Do you want self-control and you want to go to heaven? Or you want to be out of control and let the enemy run your life and then one day take you to hell and then torment you? I don't know why, but I thought about that the other day and I thought, you know, so the Bible says that Satan's going to be thrown into hell for 1,000 years, right? And we're going to have perfect peace. And then he's going to be let loose again. But all these people died and went to hell. They're not going to know that 1,000 years of perfect peace, because they're going to be in hell continually being tormented. I don't want in that category, do you? Well, then we better get self-control, hadn't we? Come on. Let's get self-control, because you know what? You don't know when your next breath is going to be done, and you aren't promised tomorrow. So I would really work on my self-control today, right now, so that I don't end up in hell. Amen. Part of the process is to prioritize. People don't do that either. Don't do just what you feel like doing when you feel like doing it. A lot of the destructive things we do is not morally wrong, just unwise. If we prioritize, we can do some of those things we enjoy. If you prioritize, then you can do some of the things that you enjoy. You'll get everything in order. First, do what needs to be done. Then you may be able to do some of those other things you would rather be doing. Do the things you don't like to do first. Get them out of the way. Then you can enjoy the rest of the day. I read a story where this young man, his father, his job at his home was to clean his basement. And his father said, if you don't clean, and then every Saturday, you know, the family got together and went somewhere and did something nice. And he said, now, he told each one of the kids, if you don't do your chores, then you will stay home Saturday and do your chores while the rest of the family go on the outing. Well, this young man, he forgot to clean the basement. He got busy doing his other things. And so whenever everybody's getting in the car, he got ready to get in the car, and his father said, where are you going? Well, we're going to go out for our day. He said, no, you never clean the basement. So you go to the basement, you clean the basement, and we're going to go and have our family day out. He said he learned a big lesson that day. He learned to do his basement first and do all the other things he enjoyed doing afterwards. But see, if the father wouldn't have stuck to that, that child wouldn't learn nothing. He'd learn, okay, I don't have to do no chores, and I'll still get to enjoy myself. And that is one thing that us parents do all the time. We don't make the children pay for their mistakes. All right? After all, I want them to love me. God has given us, where am I at here? Now, first, do what needs to be done. Then you may be able to do some of those other things you would rather be doing. Prioritize. We are to walk in faith. We are to walk in obedience. God has given us everything we need for a happy, good, and productive life. He has. Read His Word. Everything. God has given us the privilege of sharing in His divine nature. because of what we need to add to our fruit in an increasing measure if we are to be effective and productive. So I said, God has given us the privilege of sharing in his divine nature. Because of that, because he's done that for us, we need to add to our fruit in an increasing measure if we are to be effective and productive. If you don't do that, you will be nearsighted and blind and forget your faith. Self-control is our great need. We are destroying ourselves by lack of it. Don't believe the world or even your own flesh. You can win this battle with the Lord's help. And when you do, you will find life is so much better. Now, if you do have a problem with anger, you're not a good example of Jesus Christ. And, you know, if you reek of cigarette smoke all the time, then you're not a good example of Jesus Christ, because that means you don't have the fruit of self-control. If you're always backbiting and trying to cause strife in the house of God, then you don't have self-control, because a person who has self-control would not do that. Well, if I bottle it up, it'll kill me. Well, just let it go, give it to God, and walk on, because most of the things you have bottled up inside aren't reality. They are things that Satan has put in your mind, imaginative things that are going to destroy you. Come on. Let it go. Get self-control over your mind. Let it go. Galatians 5:15 says, "But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." If you had control over your mind, you wouldn't be doing the things that you're doing that are wrong. It says right there, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." I'm saying you're not full of the Spirit. You might have some spirit. I'm not saying you don't have some, but you're not full of the Spirit, or your flesh would be constantly taken over. I really want you to get this in your spirit, because these are things that God is trying to get you to clean up your church. He's trying to get you ready for the great move that he's bringing in the house of God. And he can't give you his glory if you're all messed up. If you're always causing strife and division, God can't use you. If you're out there, if you can't control your own desires, God can't use you. Now, I didn't say it was easy. I'm going to say it's very, very hard to quit a habit that you've had for all your life. This is what this one person, "I've been doing drugs since I've been 9, and now I'm 29. Well, somewhere you have to stop and bite the bullet and just start taking control one day at a time. You know, that's just an excuse to keep on going. I said, you're not even living. Well, to me, this is normal. What you're telling me to do is abnormal. I said, well, then I'm telling you right now, you're abnormal and I'm normal. And you need to turn your life around. And it's not going to be easy, but you have a group around about you that wants to help you. We will support you. We'll be there for you. We'll pray with you, you know. We'll do everything that needs to be done. And anybody in the body of Christ should have a support group around about them. If you belong to a church, then that church will see your need and they'll pray for you. Are you listening to this? There's a lot of needs that I see, and I don't come to you. I go to God, because only God can answer those needs. Only God can clear the thing up. Because if I come to you, Barbara, all you're going to do is tell me the problem all over again, right? Just over and over and over again, and nothing gets resolved. So I take it to God. I say, God, you know the truth. You know everything that's going on here. I'm placing it in your hands, and you take care of it. Don't go there and say, God, vindicate me. Show them they're all wrong and I'm all right. Now, that is not right praying. That is not. God said he would vindicate you in due time. Don't do it that way, please, because you're already messed up and you didn't really pray properly. All right? Come on. Lost my place. Verse 18. "But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are," this is your works of your flesh, "adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, and drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If any of these fruits are evident in your life, then you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, see, I'm talking about self-control. Okay, well, I'll finish this and I'll tell you that. A leader must have integrity. After I do this, and I'll tell you what I was going to tell you. As a leader, I will live what I teach through self-control. If you're going to preach it, live it. The last thing you need in life is some guy up in front, or some girl like me up in front, preaching messages that he or she doesn't live. If you are teaching others how to do self-deliverance and you are still bound, then quit teaching it until you can be an example, a living proof that what you are teaching really works. Now, I'm up here telling you to have self-control, and God told me years ago that the food I was eating was killing me, all right? So have I changed my diet? You can tell that by looking at me. No, I'm being honest. And so now God said, all right, now you have to fast. I was supposed to start the fast yesterday. Did I start the fast yesterday? No. So there's no self-control there. Now, till I get that self-control and fast, then I'm in trouble with God. All right? So I'm a leader, and I'm telling you, you have to have self-control. And I found out yesterday that, sure, I can fast, God. And I ate without even thinking. How many of you have done that? You've been going to start a fast, and you just eat without even thinking because it's a habit. I said, dear Lord, I ate, and I shouldn't have eaten. Oh, well, I ate that, so I might as well eat this too. I already messed up, right? Wrong. I mean, that's what I did. Oh, well, God, I already messed up, so I'll start another day. So I might as well eat this too. You know, Larry always makes sure I have plenty of food to eat. And after all, I don't want it to go to waste and rot or something. He'll think I don't appreciate. Get out of here. Come on. That's my excuse. All them excuses I used. So I'm going to go back now to fast, get self-control. All right? Come on. A leader must be transparent and vulnerable. Basically, that means that when I am wrong, I will ask forgiveness. I'm asking you to forgive me for being out of control yesterday. All right? You see what, you know? You know, if you tell about yourself, the enemy has no ground. People say, oh, I'm not going to let anybody know that God told me to fast and I didn't fast. And the enemy's going to there and he's going to grab that and he's going to run with it. Now, don't come in here every day and say, well, God told me to fast. I didn't fast. No, get out of here. I don't even want to hear that. Come on. You know, I'm trying to rearrange my closets, you know, and I realized I really had a habit of buying clothes. I have all these closets full of clothes with price tags still on them. Right before I started gaining weight, I just went out and bought a whole new wardrobe of clothes. I have 20 pair of pants that I've never had on my body. Isn't that awful? That's a shame when I get them all together, and I'm still not getting them all together. And so we're trying to weed them out. And I said, Teresa, well, I'm going to lose weight, and I'll wear these. Yeah. Well, I'm going to lose weight, and I'll be able to wear this blouse. You know how that goes. And she said, Mom, you're not getting rid of anything. You're just rearranging them in different closets. You know, no self-control there. I have to get self-control to get rid of the clothes, right? I've already brought a lot down and they've taken to Goodwill or threw them in the trash or something. But there's still so many more to go through. I said, all right, God, I've got to get control of this thing. I've got to get control of this thing and I've got to get these clothes out of this house. Amen. So what did I do? I had Brother Larry order me some more on Boss Cost. And they come in. I said, now why did I do? I didn't need these. No self-control with spending, buying clothes. I'm telling you the truth about myself now. And I'm going to break that. I am working on breaking this. I really am. It's broken. It's broken. Amen. All right. We are all trying to serve Jesus, right? We're trying to love him. So then we need to love him. I mean, we need to live up to the potential he created for us. There's so much greater things he wants for me than to be fat. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, you might be on the other end of the totem pole and you're skinny, but you think you have to be skinnier. You know, that's a sin too. I used to do that when I was younger. I was 90 pounds and thought I had to be skinnier, you know. And it was a mess. But God works you through all things. Now I'm on the other end of the stick, you know. All right, love God. Live up to the potential he created for you. Learn self-control and be the best person that God created us to be. And we'll never be the best thing that God created for us to be if we don't learn self-control. All right, your sin might be smoking. My sin is not fasting when God told me to. You see what I'm saying? And I know every sin's not equal. We learned that this morning. But still in all, it's still a sin. And we're still walking without self-control. So I want each one of us tonight to really think about this. Chew on it and think about it. And look at your life and see what it is that you're out of control of in your life. Look at what you need to have self-control over. And then ask God to help you. And remember, we do it what? One day at a time. Sometimes 1 minute at a time. Sometimes 1 hour at a time. I was reading an article about smokers. And they said they have put stuff in cigarettes. It's really, really, really super hard to quit smoking nowadays. So if God had you out of it once, you go back into it. Oh my. I'm just glad I'm not a smoker. Never have been, never will be. But I really have compassion for you guys and girls who do smoke, and it's destroying your body. Smoking does destroy your body. Overeating destroys your body. So I'm not judging anybody. I'm just trying to get a point across. We have to have self-control. It is a fruit of the Spirit, all right? And if you've been an angry person, please work on that. Because that will kill somebody else and you. I have a little 10-year-old here. He gets so angry sometimes. I know he could just kill everybody in sight. It's all his face gets contorted. His eyes get big and his anger like you wouldn't believe. Now he's going to have to control that anger at 10 years old. That's very young to have to control anger. But we all know if he doesn't control it now, what's going to happen as he gets older? Exactly what's going on with the teens nowadays. They're totally out of control, and everybody's shooting everybody and thinking they have a right to do that. All right? So you look around, everybody's heavy. Well, that's okay. Everybody else is heavy. No, it's not. That's not what God called you to be, okay? Whatever it is. Well, everybody's doing drugs. Well, that doesn't mean you should do drugs. No, it doesn't. Everybody drinks. That doesn't mean you should go to the bar and drink. Right? You are a child of God, and you're supposed to be peculiar and different, and we're supposed to be an example for all those that we come in contact with. So, I confess my fault, and I'm working on it. So, whatever you have, you confess it to God and say, I'm working on it, God. I'm no longer going to be out of control. I'm going to let you help me, and I'm going to get into control, and I'm going to be the person that you call me forth to be. Now, what if, Barbara, you're heading up the Women's of Glow here in Delaware, and what if you got up here and you were all upset, and you're always angry, and all of a sudden the enemy just jumps on you without you even realizing it, and you just start blasting the people. Say you're out of control, because the Holy Spirit doesn't have control, so the enemy can come in and do that. All right? Well, Father, I just thank you and I praise you for this teaching on self-control. Tell my people that the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are in the altar tonight. And if they will accept those blessings, I will move upon their life. I will take that spirit of no control out of them, and they will start producing the fruit of self-control. I am with you. I am for you, not against you. And I have emptied out the heavens upon you tonight. And I promise you that my liquid gold will flow from you as you learn self-control. All right, well, you heard what God said, so come on up to the altar tonight. And let's just let God do the perfect work that we need. Remember, we're a body. We all have a problem. Different areas, but we all have a problem. And we're going to get control over it.